church. I welcome you as our leaders in Jesus' name. I pray that God will give you the strength and the courage and the vision to lead us, the church, to glory land in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you for your servants. Thank you for the privilege. Thank you for all of us serving you to move your church forward so we can make the necessary progress and eventually make it on that final day when you call us home. We're asking, Lord, as you use your people to lead the church, you would lead them by your spirit too, and their own lives will be profitable and fulfilled and fulfilling as we pass across more of the goodness of God to your people in Jesus' name. Be with us tonight, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Tonight, as you have heard from the time of Sunday Scripture, we are looking at Psalm 61, Psalm 62, and Psalm 63. We're choosing some selected verses now. In Psalm 61, verse 1, "Hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer." In verse 2 it says, "From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I." You will find out in those two verses we have read that David was very personal. My cry, I cry, lead me. There are people that have community religion, family religion, church religion, denominational religion. They do not have personal desire, personal conversion, personal salvation, personal confidence, personal trust in the Lord. We must not make the mistake of just going with the crowd. They believe, we believe. They accept, I accept, we accept. And we're just following, and we do not have a personal trust in God. What is remarkable about this man, the second king in Israel, David, is that even though the family was a family of faith, a family belonging to God, he had his own personal faith in the Lord. We should challenge all our children that our children, as they're growing up, they should have personal confidence in the Lord, personal faith in the Lord. There should be personal salvation, personal relationship with the Lord, not just because mommy and daddy are believers and so I go with them, mommy and daddy are deep alive so I'm deep alive too. There should be personal conversion, personal confidence, personal courage in following the Lord in their personal lives. Let's come to Psalm 62. We're reading from verse 1. Psalm 62 verse 1, "Truly my soul waiteth upon the Lord. From him cometh my salvation." You still see the personal note that goes on about David. It says in verse 2, "In verse 2, he only is my rock." You see the personal pronoun there, my rock, my salvation, my defense. He only is not he and voodoo and tradition and juju and traditional medicine or any other thing. This God, my Savior, this God, my Redeemer, is my only confidence. I do not have confidence in God on Sunday, and then during the week I have another thing. I have confidence in. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. He tells us in verse 5, my soul, personal again, you must have that personal confidence in the Lord and that personal devotion, abandonment unto the Lord, that you will be able to say, my salvation, not our salvation, my experience, not our experiences, my hope in the Lord, not our hope. You have this personal dependence on the Lord. My soul, which thou only upon God, only upon God, not upon rich people, powerful people, and not on people I'm looking up to. They will help me, and then I just sprinkle some words of prayer on my expectation. Make your confidence to be in God, so that no matter where you are and no matter what is happening to you, you will be able to sail through, because all those rich men, all those powerful men, all those popular people, their breath is in their nostrils. They'll soon pass away, but the eternal one, the everlasting one, the one that is, the I am that I am, that is all the time in all generations, that's the one you are to have your confidence in. My soul, which thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. In verse 6, it tells us he only. Underline that word only again, so that your soul, your mind, your strength, everything you have is focused on God, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. You'll not be moved in Jesus' name. If he is the rock of ages and he abides, the same thing, you abide solid and steadfast on that rock of ages, and you'll not be moved, and then you're satisfied. It says in verse 7, it says, in God is my salvation, in God is my glory, the rock of my strength, and my refuge is in God. In Psalm 63 verse 1, it tells us, Psalm 63 verse 1, O God, thou art my God. You couldn't miss the personal confidence that this man had in God. And he was able to tell God, nothing between him and God, no doubt, no fear, nothing like panicking. He depended upon the Lord and upon the Lord alone, and then he could say in prayer without any shadow of doubt, O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee, my soul thirsteth for thee, my flesh longeth for thee, in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. In verse 2, it says, it is to see thy power. It says, the reason my soul is passionate and panting and longing and thirsty after you is that I will see your power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. It says, I come to the sanctuary, I come to the temple, I come to the place of worship, and I see your power and I sense your power. And when I go out to a dreary land, to a dry land where there's no water, in that vast field of a wilderness, I also want to see your power there. It is to see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. Verse 3 tells us, it says, because thy loving kindness is better than life. Anything I can get in life, position and power and politics and prosperity, whatever, your loving kindness, just to know that you love me and just to know that your favor is upon my life, it says that is more and that is better than life. My lips shall praise thee. It tells us in verse 4, and it says, thus will I bless thee while I live. That's why I live. That's the purpose of living. again, if I have anything that will not allow me to praise you and to bless you and to honor you and to exalt you, take it away from me. All I want to do in life, my ambition in life, my career in life, my aspiration in life, and my doing and my deeds in life is so that I will bless thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. And then in verse 5, he tells us now, my soul shall be satisfied as with marrow. My soul, my mind, my heart, my inner man, my personality inside me, everything, my soul shall be satisfied as with marrow. My fatness and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. As you put all those verses together, you identify number one, desire. Panting after God, seeking after God, wanting to know God. Number two, you will see thirst. Thirsty soul. He was thirsty after God. And then he says, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. The topic tonight is the desire of thirsty souls for higher ground. The desire of thirsty souls for higher ground. We're dividing the message to three parts. Number one, the constant supplication of thirsty souls. You're passionate, you have the passion, you're panting after God. There is the supplication you have because you want to move on and move closer, become more intimate and become like a real associate of the Almighty. You have a constant supplication because your soul is thirsty. Number two, the commensurate strength for truthful servants. Commensurate strength. That means strength that goes on in the same way as the duties increase, the strength increases. As the difficulties increase, the strength increases. As the challenges of life increase, you have strength that is commensurate with the situation of today and the circumstance of today and the challenges of today. Commensurate strength for truthful servants, for those who really truly want to serve God, and they say, Lord, I vouch, I've dedicated my life to serving you, and whatever crossroad and whatever mountain I meet on the way and whatever challenges I meet on the way, I know you will strengthen me because you are my strength and you are my salvation, and I'm going to be having appropriate, commensurable strength equal to the circumstance in which I find myself. Number three, the complete satisfaction. Satisfaction complete. We don't have to go into the world to add their theater, their dancing, and their cinema shows, and all the things of the world to add to our satisfaction. We have satisfaction complete. We don't have to go into all the traditions of the people of the world and then have their festivals and festivities before we can be satisfied. There is complete satisfaction in the transformed seeker. You've come to the Lord and he transforms your soul, transforms your spirit, and you're still seeking after the Lord. In God is your satisfaction. The complete satisfaction of transformed seekers. Let's come back to number one. Number one, we have the constant supplication of thirsty souls. We're coming to Psalm 61 and we're reading from verse 1. Hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. In verse 2, he tells us, he says, from the edge of the earth, wherever I find myself, in the village, the end of the earth, in a faraway town, the end of the earth, where other believers are, and where other believers are scanty. Maybe they are not there, and you are at the edge of the earth, and you are by yourself all alone. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. I may not have the chance to call on anybody and to ask anybody for help, but I don't feel lonely. I'm there in the end of the world, in that solitary place. I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, there are things in life that overwhelm everyone. That you didn't think that the water of trouble will be so deep like this and cover you all over, and you're overwhelmed. Your heart is overwhelmed. Your mind is overwhelmed. You are at your wit's end, and you do not know what you will do, like Jehoshaphat. But then, at such a time, when your heart is overwhelmed with whatever challenges may be around you, you still have your supplication unto the Lord. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Here is a man who is not satisfied with what he has got in the Lord. Am I saved? Lead me on to the rock that is higher than I. Am I sanctified? Praise the Lord, but lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Am I filled, immersed, baptized in the Holy Ghost? Praise the Lord. There is still something more. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Am I healed and I've got the miracle of healing, impartation of his health? Yes, there is still more. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Do I have some strength and I'm serving the Lord and I'm praising God for the victory and the triumph of yesterday, of last week, of last month, of last year? I thank the Lord for that. But there's still more in the Lord. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. The New Testament says, and the rock that followed them is Christ. The rock that brought out the water, that quenched the thirst of those millions of people, that rock is Christ. All I need is in Jesus. All I need is in the rock. And whatever I have got, and whatever I am still seeking, here is my prayer. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. It tells us in verse 3. In verse 3 it says, for thou hast been a shelter for me. Thou hast been my security. Thou hast been my protection. Thou hast been my guard and my guide, and a strong tower from the enemy. Obviously, David could say that from the enemy, but we can say that too. And from the greatest of enemies, he'll protect us, he'll preserve us, and he will secure us, because it's a strong tower. He said, the righteous runneth into that tower, and he is saved, and he is secured. In verse 4, it tells us in verse 4, I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. That is the secret of victory. I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. That's the secret of strength and abiding in the Lord. That's the secret of answered prayer. I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask whatsoever ye will, and it shall be given unto you. I will trust, I will trust, I will trust, I will believe, I will lean on you, I will trust you, I will trust in the covert of thy wings. And then, as we look at the New Testament, it tells us that we pray, and we pray with importunity, constant supplication, and constant prayer, that we're looking up to the Lord, and is to lead us to the rock that is higher than us. It tells us in Luke chapter 11, reading from verse 8, Luke chapter 11, and I'm reading from verse 8, it says, I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity. Have you asked? Ask again. Have you prayed? Pray again. Have you made supplication? Make that supplication again. Are you appealing, applying to the Lord? He'll give you this. He'll give you something spiritual, something elevating, something that lifts you up to the rock that is higher than where you are. Make that supplication and make it over and over and over until it is done. And it keeps on spiritually lifting you up. It keeps on encouraging, energizing, empowering you. It keeps on strengthening you. It's because of his importunity. He will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And then he says in verse 9, he says, I say unto you, ask, keep on asking, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Look at verse 13. In verse 13, it says, if ye then, being evil by nature, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Ghost to them that ask him? Give the Holy Ghost to them that ask him. He wants us to keep on asking. Salvation, sanctification, a clean heart, a pure heart, holiness of heart and life, and the power of the Holy Ghost. He shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the uttermost part of the earth. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? Have you received that power since you believe? Have you received that overwhelming and enveloping power, immersing power of the Holy Ghost since you believe? If you have not, because you have not asked, ye have not, because ye ask not, and come, ask with faith. And so ask with faith, the Lord will answer in Jesus' name. We're back to Psalm 61, reading from verse 5. Psalm 61, reading from verse 5, it tells us, it says, for thou, O Lord, hast heard my vows. You have heard my consecration. You have heard my commitment. You have seen everything I laid upon the altar, and I don't have any mind to take it up the altar. What I lay on the altar of God during a time of challenge, a time of difficulty, when things change, I don't take that from the altar. Thou, O God, has heard my vows. Thou has given me the heritage of those that fear thy name. And then he tells us in verse 6, thou wilt prolong the king's life. He'll prolong your life. If that life is to do something for the Lord, and the Lord is happy that you're giving your all without reservation, you're giving your all without complaining, you're giving your all without murmuring, he wants that thing you're doing. He wants more of that. He wants more of that vow. He wants more of that consecration. He wants more of that commitment. And because of that, he'll prolong your life to keep on serving him profitably for the kingdom of God in Jesus' name. And his years as many generations. Your years will be many. All right, my years will be many. Look at verse 7. In verse 7, he shall abide before God forever. He shall abide before God forever. He says, yes, here on earth, I abide in his sanctuary. I abide in his temple. I abide in his presence. But then when I leave here and you do not see me anymore here in the physical, I'm not out of existence. I've only changed address from earthly address to heavenly address. I've only changed location. I've only changed my residence here, and I move on to another residence up on high. And it says, and I will abide before God forever. Oh, prepare mercy and truth which may preserve me. In verse 8, it tells us in verse 8, so will I sing praise unto thy name forever. I'm singing here, and then when I cross over to my new residence, heavenly residence, I join the myriads of angels who are singing your praises in heaven, and I will sing your praise forever, that I may daily perform my vows. It says in verse 5, my vows, and it says in verse 8, my vows. Have you made any vow to the Lord in your life, like Anna made a vow to the Lord? I am asking for this son, and when you give me the son, my vow is I will give him unto you to serve you all the days of his life. Have you made any vow to the Lord at all? Or are you just coming, give me, give me, give me, and you are not offering your life as sacrifice unto the Lord? You are not offering your skill unto the Lord, and you are not giving your promotion and your progress unto the Lord. Whatever you give me, I'm going to give everything back to you to preach your word and to establish your goodness in the hearts of people. Jonah made a vow unto the Lord, but he forsook that vow and he was going to Joppa instead of going to Nineveh. And eventually, when the Lord called him back through that residence in the whale, in the belly of the whale, then he said, I will pay the vow that I made unto you. The apostles, they made consecrations and vows unto the Lord, and they laid everything on the altar, and whatever challenges came to them, whatever difficulties came to them, they remembered their vows, and they said, it is well rather obey God than man. Have you made any consecration of late? Have you made any consecration when you came to the Lord? Are you still on that consecration? Are you still abiding in that consecration? Your time, your talent, your skill, anything you have that you said, God, this is yours. Are you withdrawing that thing from the Lord? Get it back to the altar. He wants you to perform your vow, and he wants you to carry out your consecration. And no matter what is happening, and no matter the challenges that may almost overwhelm you, you tell him, my vows will not decrease, rather, my vows, my consecration, it will increase. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. In Psalm 61, looking at that verse, so will I sing praise unto thy name. When I'm happy, I sing. When I'm joyful, I sing. When I have challenges, I sing. When I'm all alone by myself, I sing. When enemies pursue, I sing. When friends come around, I sing. In fact, in every situation, forever, I'll sing unto thy name. And daily, daily, every day, I will see the vows that I've made, the consecration I've made, and I will daily perform my vows. We come to point number two now. In point number two is the commensurate strength for truthful servants. Commensurate strength for truthful servants. That word I told you already, I'm sure you know this. Commensurate means the same measure of strength with whatever is around me. And whatever challenge I face, I have the strength of the Lord. There is strength in salvation. When you get saved, there is strength that you are able to overcome the things that used to overcome you. You are now a new creature, and you have the strength of the new creature through the conversion and through the salvation. When you get sanctified and the sin that used to pull you down, the downward pull of the Adamic nature, all that is cut off. And it gives you a new heart, and the stony heart, it takes away from you. You have more strength to run, more strength to walk in the way of the Lord. And now when you have the power of the Holy Ghost, and you are enveloped in that Holy Ghost, baptized in that Holy Ghost, you have strength, greater strength. And because of that, you are having commensurate strength for all the challenges that you may have as a new convert. The persecutions that came, that salvation gave you strength to endure that persecution. As a person that is growing in the Lord, when you get sanctified, other kinds of temptation trials may come. But because now there's a circumcision of heart, there's a purifying of your heart, and there is the sensitivity in your conscience, the strength that comes goes a little bit higher, because now you have commensurate strength to the to what you have, experience you have in the Lord. Now you are baptized and immersed in the Holy Ghost, and the power of the Holy Ghost is driving you and moving you and guiding you and showing you this is the way. Walk ye therein. You have commensurate strength and power for this situation now. And now when you become a minister, the challenges of a minister are more, are greater, are diversified from the challenges of ordinary people in the church. And when you have that opportunity and you have that privilege of becoming a servant of God, a soul winner, a preacher of the gospel, a person that takes the gospel to the regions beyond, now whatever challenges you face there, you have strength, commensurate strength for the truthful servant. When we say truthful servant, I want you to divide those that single word truthful into two. Truthful. Put it the other way, you are full of truth. And when a bucket is full of water, anything that splashes out of that bucket is that same water. When a bucket, a pail, a bowl is full of oil, and then you move that person a little, what splashes out is that oil. When you are truthful, you are full of truth. And anywhere you are, any question they ask you, any person you are with, what comes out of you is truth. When you are joyful, you are full of joy. And when anything shakes you, what comes out is joy. When you are peaceful, you are full of peace. And anything that happens, what comes out is the peace of God from your heart. The truthful servants of God, as they move on in life and they face different challenges, they have commensurate strength equal to the challenges that confront them. We come to Psalm 62, and we're reading from verse 1. Psalm 62, reading from verse 1. Truly, my soul waiteth upon God. From him cometh my salvation. He's already saved. What he means is, from him cometh my security, from him cometh my protection, from him cometh my deliverance, from him cometh my conquering. In verse 2, it says, he only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. That is, you know, when you are light, when you have a sheet of paper on the ground, very light, and the wind is blowing, that wind will blow the paper because it has no weight, it is light. When you have a tree that is planted with roots in the ground, the same wind will blow and that tree will remain there because of the stability, the solidity, the steadfastness of that tree. As a believer, a child of God, winds will blow, contradictions will come, Challenges will come like a whirlwind that is blowing the sheets of paper. All those that are light, without any weight, without any stamina, without any root, and without any conviction, the wind will blow them, but you will still be standing. I will still be standing. In your community, you'll be standing. In your place of work, you'll be standing. On your conviction, you will keep standing in Jesus' name. Look at verse 3. It says in verse 3, how long will ye imagine mischief against a man? Ye shall be slain, all of you. Is talking about the people that are wicked and sinful and evil. As a bowing wall shall ye be, and as a tottering fence. In verse 4, it says, they only consult to cast him down from his excellency. They delight in lies, they are not full of truth. They bless with their mouth, but they curse inwardly. In verse 5, it says, my soul, wait thou only upon God. Don't allow enemies to shift you and to blow you up and to move you away from where you stand. My soul, wait thou upon God, for my expectation is from him. You'll never be disappointed. If you look unto men, you'll be disappointed, because they speak with their mouth, they love with their mouth, and they're friendly with their mouth, but in their heart, they're evil. And they plan evil against you in their heart. But if you look unto God, my soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. Look at verse 6. It says, he only is my rock. He only is my rock. The rock of ages. I plant my feet solidly with trust and confidence, and with faith and hope I plant my feet on that solid rock of ages, and is my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. Let somebody say, I shall not be moved. And remind yourselves, when the wind starts blowing, I shall not be moved. When the sea begins to rage, I shall not be moved. When sickness knocks at the door, I shall not be moved. When enemies want to tear you apart, I shall not be moved. And when the lion stands in the way of your progress, in the way of your preaching the gospel, and it says, no way here, you say, my consecration, my commitment to the commission of the Lord is that I will get to that side, I will preach the gospel, I shall not be moved. Somebody there, I shall not be moved. Say it, let them hear. Let it register in your conscience. Look at verse 7. In verse 7, in God is my salvation and my glory. And God is still there and is always there. In God is my salvation and my glory. And God is omnipresent. In that omnipresent God is my glory. He is omniscient. In that all-knowing God is my salvation and in my glory. And in that eternal God, the El Shaddai, is the one that is almighty and is immovable and is always the same yesterday, today, and forever. In that God is my salvation and my glory, the rock of my strength, the rock of my strength, and my refuge is in God. As we wait upon the Lord, the mighty power of God will strengthen you more than ever before in Jesus' name. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 28. In Isaiah, reading from chapter 40, and we're looking at verse 28, it says, hast thou not known by experience? Hast thou not known by instruction? Hast thou not known by doctrine? Hast thou not known from all the people that have passed before us? Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard? Have you not heard from the prophets of the Bible? Have you not heard from the apostles who gave us the gospel? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. In verse 29, he giveth power. Who is going to receive? He giveth power to the faint, you will not faint. He giveth power to the faint, you will not stumble. He giveth power to the faint, you will not pass out. You know, sometimes somebody is running and that is the destination, but he's losing strength, he's losing power, he's losing the energy from within. All of a sudden, before he reaches the goal and before he reaches the destination, he passes out. He doesn't die, but he falls and he says, I cannot take any other step anymore. You will keep on walking. You will keep on running. And the power of God in you will never fail in Jesus' name. He gave us. He gave yesterday, today he gave us. Tomorrow is still going to give. He gave it constantly. Whatever the challenge you have and whatever situation you find yourself, he keeps on giving power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases strength. He will increase your strength. Commensurate strength for truthful servants. As your challenges are increasing, he increases strength. As your difficulties are increasing, he increases strength. As the situation you find yourself is more overwhelming. I thought I'd experienced all the challenges I would ever experience, but this one that came today is more than I ever saw. Remember, the strength of today will be equal to the challenges of today. He increases strength. In verse 30, it says, even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young man shall utterly fall. In verse 31, but they that wait upon the Lord, are they there today? They that wait upon the Lord, I said, are they there today? They that wait upon the Lord, that means you take time apart. Apart from church time, apart from worship time, apart from the time we are together, you say, I need more strength, I need more vision, I need more power, I need more commitment, I need more passion. Looks like things are going down. The excitement, the enthusiasm I used to have, I need to recover that. And I need to increase that. The fire and the fervency I used to have, the fire is not burning as hot as it used to be. The fervency is not like it used to be. I need more fire. I need more fervency. Then wait upon the Lord. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Is that possible? Can that happen? In whose life? I said, in whose life? In your life, you will walk, you will not faint. You will run, you will not be weary. You will mount up with wings as eagles. You'll cross over all those seas, all those oceans, all those turbulent winds and everything. You'll mount up. You'll not be weary in Jesus' name. It tells us in Acts of the Apostles chapter 1, we're reading from verse 4. Acts of the Apostles chapter 1, we're reading from verse 4. It says in verse 4, and being assembled together with them, he commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. Verse 5, For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. In verse 8 it says, but ye shall receive power. Where is the ye there? Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. I pray that power will be in every one of our lives, in Jesus' name. I come into Psalm 62, verse 8. Psalm 62, we're reading from verse 8. Trust in him at all times. When you're happy, trust in him. Joyful, trust in him. When you're sad, trust in him. When I can't understand why this is happening, why that is happening, trust in him. When there's a little storm in your cup of tea, locally there, in your family, trust in him. When the challenges in the place of work, they are perplexing and confusing. You say you're a Christian, and look at what you are going through. Almost everybody is popular with the manager, and you are the only unlucky one. Trust in him. When some things happen accidentally, I don't understand why this should happen. That's not the end of life. Trust in him. If you trust in him, every time he'll always bring you out. He'll bring me out. I said he'll bring me out. Trust in him at all times. Ye people, pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Whatever happens, God is a refuge for us. They like us, they don't like us, God is a refuge for us. We hear that things are negative and things are going down. God is a refuge for us. At all times, you'll find him to be a refuge in your life, in Jesus' name. Look at verse 9. In verse 9, it says, surely men of low degree are vanity, and men of high degree are a lie. To be laid in the balance, they are altogether lighter than vanity. You cannot compare rich men. You cannot compare popular men. You cannot compare highly placed people with the Almighty God. In comparison with the Almighty God, they are lighter than vanity. What they can do and what they can promise, and if those highly placed people are the only people you have, the only people you depend on, they are lighter than vanity. But our God is as great as the eternal rock, and we depend upon him all the time. And then he tells us in verse 10, trust not in oppression. Trust not in oppression. For yourself, make a vow and make a commitment. I will never get anything by oppression. I will never open any door by oppressing any people. Do not trust in oppression to make way for you. Do not trust in oppression to promote you. Do not trust in oppression to keep your position or to have whatever you desire in life. Trust not in oppression. Do not trust other people who have the power to oppress others, and they have the power to keep down other people. You say, I want somebody to keep down my enemy. I want somebody to restrain my enemy. Muscle their mouth, they'll never be able to do anything against me. And I know so and so can conquer anybody. So and so can oppress anybody. Don't go to them. Do not trust in oppression, and do not trust in oppressors, and become not vain in robbery. Do not steal what belongs to other people. the glory that belongs to other people, the victory that belongs to other people, the success that belongs to other people. They have labored and they have acquired something. Do not steal their name and do not steal their authority. Trust not in oppression and become not vain in robbery. If riches increase, set not your heart upon them. Set your heart on God. Do not allow those riches that increase to be your stay and to be your support and to be your confidence and to be your trust. It tells us in Isaiah chapter 59, reading from verse 1. Trust only in the Lord, not in oppression. Isaiah chapter 59, verse 1. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is ear heavy that it cannot hear. In verse 2 it says, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God. Oppression is iniquity. Oppressing other people is iniquity. Robbery is iniquity. Stealing whatever honor and glory, substance belongs to other people is iniquity. And because of that, we were separated from our God. And your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. And then in verse 3, it says, for your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies, and your tongues muttered perverseness. In verse 4, it tells us, none calleth for justice, nor any pleadeth for truth. They trust in vanity. In the world, as you look at people, they trust in violence, they trust in fighting, they trust in oppression, they trust in cruelty. And by cruelty, they want to achieve whatever they want to achieve. And that is the reason why they are not getting the blessing they ought to get from the Lord. They speak lies, they conceive mischief, and they bring forth vanity. That will not be our lot. We're coming back to Psalm 62, reading from verse 11. Psalm 62, reading from verse 11. It says in verse 11, God has spoken once, twice have I heard this, that power belongeth unto God. It says God has spoken. And then he has spoken twice. He spoke to Pharaoh and he repeated the dream two times. He spoke to Nebuchadnezzar and he repeated the dream two times. And many parts of scripture, you have this now. God has spoken and God speaks again over and over. That power belongeth unto God. The power to conquer Pharaoh, power belongeth unto God. The power to turn Nebuchadnezzar into a grass-eating animal, God has the power. Power belongeth unto God. The power to part the Red Sea, power belongeth unto God. The power to divide your Jordan and make you cross over to the promised land, power belongeth unto God. The power to multiply the little food and the little meal you have, 5 loaves of bread and 2 pieces of fish. The power to multiply and feed thousands of people, power belongeth unto God. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, and he went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, power belongeth unto God. The power to conquer any opposing evil spirit, because as Paul the apostle was preaching to the deputy, this man bad Jesus, having a good name but bad character, he was to them wanting to turn the deputy away from the faith. And power belongeth unto God. And Paul the apostle looked at him eyeball to eyeball and said, you child of the devil, will you not cease to withstand God and to derail the man from hearing the word. And he says, now the hand of the Lord is upon you. You'll be blind, not seeing the sun for a season because of what you've done. Power belongeth unto God. He became blind and they were leading him all about. Power belongeth unto God. This apostle, Peter, he was in the prison, and the following day Herod was thinking he'll bring him out of that prison, and then to satisfy the Jews he'll kill him. An angel came to God, those doors, iron doors, open before the angels, because power belongeth unto God. And he tapped him and he rose up. He said, follow me. He put on his sandals and he followed him. And when they come to the iron gate, any iron gate you come across will open in Jesus' name. And then those iron gates open, and then the angel said, you are free now, and he left. And then Peter looked around and he saw that the Lord had delivered him from Herod and from the expectation of the Jews, because power belongeth unto God. In your life today, in your life tomorrow, in your life every time, all the days of your life, anywhere you are, any dungeon, any stormy sea, any rock, anything, you're going to discover power belongs unto God. That power will walk in your life. That power will rule every stone out of your life. That power will pick you up from anywhere they drop you and will bring you to the top of the rock in Jesus' name. In your heart, in your mind, in your soul, in your spirit, in the circumstances around you, because with God all things are possible, and to him who believes all things are possible, you will discover that power belongs unto God. The power for promotion, power belongeth unto God. And the power for open doors, power belongeth unto God. And the power for your healing and deliverance, power belongeth unto God. And the power to make you successful every day, every moment of your life, power belongeth unto God. That power will never fail in your life, in Jesus' name. We're coming now to point number three. Point number three is the complete satisfaction of transformed seekers. The complete satisfaction of transformed seekers. The Lord will satisfy you. As you are seeking the Lord, whatever you are seeking the Lord for, the Lord will satisfy all your needs, every need of your life, in Jesus' name. Look at Psalm 63 verse 1. O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsted for thee. My flesh longeth for thee. In a dry and thirsty land where no water is. It tells us in verse 2. It says in verse 2, I'm here to see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. In verse 3, it says, because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Look at verse 4. In verse 4, thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. And then in verse 5, it says, my soul shall be satisfied. Your soul shall be satisfied. Your life will be satisfied. Your family will be satisfied. In the ministry, you'll be satisfied. Turn to the right, turn to the left, and move on straight. You'll be satisfied. All the works of your hand, everything you do, you'll be satisfied in Jesus' name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. Satisfaction will come as you seek the Lord in Jesus' name. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Those who are seeking the Lord, transformed seekers, they're seeking the Lord, and everything the Lord has for them will be theirs. But seek ye first the kingdom of God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, the expansion of the kingdom. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, the establishment of the kingdom in your community, in your village, in your town, and in your region where you are. Seek the establishment of the kingdom, and seek the expansion, and seek the extension of that kingdom. Seek everything, the expectation of the kingdom, wherever you are, that the kingdom is established there, is expanding there. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. No subtraction in your life. I said no subtraction in your life. Addition in every one of your lives in Jesus' name. Let's come back now to Psalm 63. We're looking at verse 6. Psalm 63 verse 6. When I remember thee upon my bed. Don't remember injury. Don't remember bad news. Don't remember the furious face of Nebuchadnezzar, of your enemy. Don't remember all their threats. And don't remember what they did yesterday. They brought that one down. They brought that one down. That's not your business. Remember only the Lord upon your bed, and everything you expect will be fulfilled in Jesus' name. When I remember thee upon my bed, I meditate on thee in the night watches. And then it says in verse 7, because thou hast been my help, my help. Who is your helper? Thou hast been my help. If you know your helper, say it confidently. Because thou hast been my helper, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. In the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. You will rejoice. Laughter that you lost will come back. The joy you lost will come back. Look at verse 8. It tells us in verse 8, my soul followeth hard after thee. My soul followeth hard after thee. Thy right hand upholdeth me. It will uphold you. You will not fall in Jesus' name. In verse 9, it says, but those that seek my soul to destroy it shall go into the lower parts of the earth. They will not catch you. They will not see you. The Lord will blindfold them in Jesus' name. Look at verse 10. In verse 10, they shall fall by the sword. They shall be a portion for the foxes. And now in verse 11, but the king shall rejoice in God. He has made us kings and priests unto the heavenly Father, and you will rejoice in God in Jesus' name. Everyone that sweareth by him shall glory, but the mouth of them that speaketh lies shall be stopped. The goodness of God will multiply your life. As you move on seeking the goodness of the kingdom of God, the expansion of the kingdom of God, every good thing you ought to have will be your portion in Jesus' name. Joy. Joy. Happiness, amen. Satisfaction, amen. Fulfillment, amen. Expectation, amen. Every good thing that you desire, victory, amen. Success, amen. Overcoming life. When you are overwhelmed, you tell the Lord, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. You will go higher, and you'll be going higher and higher every day in Jesus' name. Stand up and tell the Lord, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. The Lord has a lot for you tonight, a lot for your fulfillment, a lot for your satisfaction, a lot for your happiness, a lot for the goodness of God in your life. Pray and say, Lord, lead me to the rock that is higher than I.